I looked at it just, you know, kind of a crass way that, you know, I'm a businessman, and that's what we look at everything from a standpoint of a business. And so, you know, I looked at it and thought, well, I wonder if that's something we could make money at. And we started the television show just simply as a business. And I had no desire to do a television show so I could spend more time fishing or be in the outdoors or anything like that. I was already doing that a lot. I looked at it just as a business and a money-making deal. And I did a lot of research and a lot of study. You know, one of my degrees in college is in economics. And I felt like that that we could make money. I got a hold of a lot of Bill Dancy's shows and a lot of Roland's show. Roland had been doing a television show for 2 years when I started. Bill had been doing one for four, and both very, very good, close, dear friends of mine, and fish and hunt with both of them a lot, and tried to see what they were doing right that I wanted to emulate, what they were doing wrong that I wanted to avoid. Mm-hmm. And we just decided to try it and see if we could make money at doing an outdoor fishing show on television. And I set a goal the first year. If we lost $50,000 or less, we would continue doing that show for the second year.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the podcast today. I tracked down one of my heroes. I've been watching this guy on TV since I was a little boy. On Saturday mornings, I would sit with my dad and we would watch fishing TV when we weren't actually fishing. And one of my favorite was always Jimmy Houston. There were four guys that I really liked watching. Bill Dance, of course, he's been on the podcast. Roland Martin, of course, he's been on the podcast too. And Jimmy Houston, as well as Hank Parker. I always liked all of those shows. And, you know, when I was growing up, I grew up in Tennessee. I thought I was going to be a bass fisherman, right? Like, that was the most natural thing. I happened to make it in the saltwater world through a lot of different ways and paths and things. But I always, you know, had a fondness in my heart for bass fishermen. That's why I like to get a lot of the bass fishermen on. But particularly why I wanted to get Roland Martin, Bill Dance, and Jimmy Houston on is because they are true icons, not only in the fishing world, but they're icons in the television world. There are not many shows that have been on the air for 47 years, 45 years, 42 years. Jimmy says that in this podcast. He talks about that a little bit. But I mean, seriously, there are not many television shows that have been on that long. Name one. I don't know one. You know, Seinfeld or something like that is on the air for 10 years. That's like a milestone, and it's a huge show, and that's incredible. But these guys have been on the air for 47 years, 45 years, 40 years. That's a long time. And so in that time, they've had lots of ups and downs. They've had lots of sideways moves, but they've stayed true to the path, and they've been providing great fishing entertainment for the world. And that's why they are icons. So today we're going to go and we're going to, I tracked Jimmy down. He had time. He said, yeah, I'd love to do it. Going to sit down. He said, but the Wi-Fi is not that good at the ranch where he is. And so, as you know, we're under quarantine right now. So he isn't going anywhere. So the Wi-Fi is not getting any better. So as you'll see, the quality on this one is quite subpar to the last podcast, to any of the other podcasts that I've done. I'm going to stick with it on this one because it's Jimmy Houston. He's a legend. He's an icon. I want to hear what he has to say, and I know you're going to want to hear what he has to say, but I got to warn you, the quality is not good. The quality is very poor. But if you stick it out, it's a very interesting conversation with Jimmy Houston. So sorry once again about the quality, but you're going to like the content. All right, here we go. I tell you what, it's an honor to talk to you. I've been a fan of yours for a long time. Probably you were a big reason why I entered into the television world myself. You and Roland Martin, Bill Dance.
What's good?
All the great TV shows. And so I've been following your career for a long time. And on this podcast,
we've been doing it quite as long as Bill and Roland, but we've been around for a long time.
How long has it been?
As long as they continue working.
Right, I know. How long has it been for you?
Well, you know, we fished national tournaments for 54 years. This is the first year since I was a senior in college that we haven't been fishing national tournaments. And I made a decision. I waited clear up till December before I made a decision not to fish them. And basically not fishing in tournaments because they won't let Chris practice with me. You know, they changed the rules around this year where you have to practice by yourself. And to be honest with you, that's not much fun. And you practice daylight till dark for three straight days getting ready for a tournament. And to do that out there by yourself is just kind of a crazy, silly thing. You know, fishing was not designed to be that way.
Right.
And I fished the tournaments for fun. You know, we had a great year last year and won a lot of money. And the tournaments have been good to us. But, you know, we fished those for 54 years. We've done the television show for 43 years. And we just keep on keeping on.
Right on. So how did this get started for you? Was there a moment where you kind of saw fishing as something that you thought you wanted to do?
Not really, Tom. You know, we were fishing and doing things in fishing for a long time. And at some point in time, somebody started calling us professional fishermen. We didn't even know there was any such thing as a professional fisherman. The guys now that fish tournaments, most of them say, well, I've been professional fishing for 8 years or 6 years or 12 years or whatever. And we have no idea. I started fishing tournaments when I was a senior in college and you know, we started the television show about 10 or 15 years after I got out of college. And you know, we've done that forever. We've done that television show for 43 years. And, you know, we've just been involved in this business for a long time. We didn't really ever plan anything that way. I've fished all my life and hunted all my life. And we didn't ever really plan to do this. It just one thing led to another and another and another. And it's kind of like the other businesses we're all involved in. We didn't really plan any of those out either necessarily. But once we got an idea to do something, we researched it and did it. And so that's kind of the way it is. And we turned out being having a lot of fun at it. We've had a great time and made a living at it and still doing it, you know, and probably, I don't know that we'll ever quit, to be honest with you. We'll probably continue fishing. You know, until we die.
Right.
As long as I get out there and fish, I'm going to fish. I'm going to fish today, as a matter of fact.
Right on. Well, you got a beautiful lake behind you there. So in everything that you're talking about, you're using we. So who do you consider your team in fishing?
Well, you know, our whole family is involved in our businesses, our company businesses. Chris and I have always done everything together. And like I said, that's the thing that caused me to quit tournament fishing. I didn't run a quit tournament fishing. I had a pretty good year last year dollar wise. And I wanted to continue doing that. I've never known anything but tournament fishing since we were in college, you know, and so it's kind of difficult to quit the game, but they sort of, you know, they didn't force me out. The rule wasn't against me. Obviously it was, I don't know really what the rule was for. It's kind of a silly rule. Fishing has always been a family sport and to not allow, you know, your wife or your son or daughter, your brother or whatever to go fishing with you is kind of crazy.
Right.
But you know, that's just the way it is. And I'm cool with that. But you know, our whole family is involved in, you know, my son runs our boat dealership. My daughter runs our travel agency and handles all my personal schedule. Runs our Subway store. And, you know, we've got a lot of businesses that those kids have been involved in forever. The kids have never done anything since they, you know, their entire life at work in the company. And so everybody is a big part of it. And you know, we started our kids working, which you can't do nowadays, you know, Bill Clinton come along or Obama or somebody and made it where, you know, kids couldn't work, you know, and it was like child endangerment or something. You let kids work, but our kids started working in the business when they were 10 or 11 years old. Which I think is very, very important. And because of the rules they've had where the kids can't work, they're kind of raising a lot of adult snowflakes nowadays.
Right. I hear you.
But you know, our kids, they understand and they know what business is all about. And it's really made a difference in their lives also. And they're very successful themselves. And so it's never been an I situation in our business. It's always been we.
Yeah, I hear you. So the the television show. How did the television show get started for you? I mean, you were probably doing just fine in tournament fishing. What made you get interested in TV?
Well, the television show came about because of, really being a guest on a lot of other television shows. We had good success tournament fishing, and because of that, we were on quite a few other television shows, John Fox's American Angler Show, the local shows here in Oklahoma, Joe Krieger and Don Wallace, and we were guests on quite a few shows, and because of being guests on the shows, I had people start talking to me about doing a television show of our own, and we really had no desire to do that. We were making a good living, but I started investigating that. I thought it might be, if people was talking to me about it, it might be something we ought to be thinking about, and so we started investigating that, I looked at it just, kind of a crass way, but I'm a businessman, and that's what we look at everything from a standpoint of a business. And so I looked at it and thought, well, I wonder if that's something we could make money at. And we started the television show just simply as a business. I had no desire to do a television show so I could spend more time fishing or be in the outdoors or anything like that. I was already doing that a lot. So it wasn't anything along those lines that a lot of people, I looked at it just as a business and a money making deal. And I did a lot of research and a lot of study. One of my degrees in college is in economics. It was a deal just to study. And I felt like that we could make money. I got a hold of a lot of Bill Dancy shows and a lot of Roland's show. Roland had been doing a television show for 2 years when I started. Bill had been doing one for four, and both very, very good, close, dear friends of mine, and fish and hunt with both of them a lot. I studied their shows and tried to see what they were doing right that I wanted to emulate, what they were doing wrong that I wanted to avoid. Mm-hmm. And we just decided to try it, see if we could make money at doing an outdoor fishing show on television. And I set a goal the first year on my business plan that I designed to, if I lost $50,000 or less, which is kind of a silly, this was back, again, 43 years ago, it's a tremendous amount of money. If we lost $50,000 or less, we would continue doing that show for the second year. And the reason I said it is that because in visiting with Bill and Roland and quite a few other guys in the outdoor business, they all lost money. I mean, they all lost money their first few years. Yep. Bill and Roland were still losing money when I talked to them. And so I felt like that was probably the norm. And so I set aside money to lose. And as it turned out, we made $30,000 that first year, which I thought was like enormous. And we made money all of the years ever since, clear up to 2008. And in 2008, during that downturn in the economy, we lost money in 2008, 9, 10, and 11, four years there that was just horrendous in the business world for pretty much everybody. It wasn't just me. It was pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
In doing that, we were very, very fortunate that we'd been successful. We lost a lot of money. I mean, we also owned a lot of boat dealerships at that time. We had six boat dealerships, and that was another very difficult business to be in. All businesses were difficult to be in at that time. During those 4 years, we were losing, during that crisis, we lost, seven figure amounts of money. But we were fortunate that we'd been successful for a lot of years, and those years that we were successful allowed us to lose and keep businesses open and keep people employed. And we did that. We basically, went broke during that situation. But we're fighting the deal right now with this coronavirus and everything that's going on right now. So we're going through the situation again. But we've been there, done that. So we think we can get through this situation just like we did the last.
How do you see this situation being different than the last one that you just described?
Well, it's totally different. You know, I mean, that was an economic downturn in the economy. This has been a downturn because of the virus and the government, state governments, federal governments shutting down the economy. I mean, the economy was doing just great. I mean, everything was pretty good in this country. And you know, once we get this economy open back up, it's going to thrive again, and it'll thrive very quickly. And I am concerned about all the money the government's printed. You know, it has been a long time since I got that economics degree, and economics have changed a lot in the last 50, 60 years. So I guess it's been 50 years plus. But, you know, we're basically what the United States of America is doing is basically printing money, and we will have a situation probably where the $10 hamburgers we buy now are now going to be $20 hamburgers instead of $10 hamburgers. and we will probably have a lot of inflation come into this economy over the next several months. And hopefully the business will be good where they can start paring that economy and that inflation back down over a period of time. But, you know, a lot depends on who runs the country. You know, I mean, that's a big part of it, you know. If the wrong party gets in power in the country, we will obviously have enormous taxes on just about everybody, and it will be a long time before the economy recovers. But the biggest problem right now is just printing the money. But you know, for the first time in my life, they're paying money to work as opposed to giving people money to not work. And right. I think it's great. I mean, all of the business loans for the small businesses to bring their employees back and pay them to keep employees is fantastic. You know, we've got businesses that have applied for those loans. We haven't got any of those loans, and I don't know that we will or not. We might, but I understand that program is going to run out of money today, and the president asked for another $250 billion be put into that fund for small businesses, and right now it's being held up by our Speaker of the House, who is out in California somewhere running around, you know, doing whatever she's doing out there. So, but holding up that money, and so we probably have been left out of that. But that's okay. I mean, if we're left out, we're left out. We've kept all of our people working, and we'll continue to. We own a big store, a big place on the lake there, and we are essential business because we sell groceries and we've got a big tackle store too. It's in there, but we sell groceries and gas, and our boat dealership is essential business because obviously we take care of all of the marine stuff for the local governments as well as the public. So our business, our essential businesses, we've kept them open. The business is not good because of all of the shutdown and people staying at home, but we kept all of our people employed. They've all got a check. Obviously a television show is not an essential business. I think it's essential, you know, but the government doesn't take it essential, but we kept all of our people employed in the television show also. And everybody's got a paycheck except Chris and I, and we don't get one anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah. But I think this economy's going to roar back. I think it can do it very quickly if we can get this economy open back up. I'm on a stay-at-home order just like everybody else in the state of Oklahoma. We've not been hit hard with the coronavirus. Only one case actually in the county that we live in. We live on a big ranch, but the governor is lifting the stay at home orders here toward the end of the month here in Oklahoma, unless you're 65 years old, and then it runs clear to May 6th. So,
oh really?
And I had a turkey hunting trip planned, and I'm going to miss that, I guess.
You probably got some turkeys on your land, don't you?
No, I mean, it's just the way it is.
Yeah. So. Well, that's interesting. We're starting to get a little bit of disturbance with the wind and the Wi-Fi. It's starting to break up a little bit. I don't know if you want to maybe see if you can find a little bit better spot.
Well, let me see if I can find it. I tried to find the spot where I can set this iPad down.
Even inside, it'd be okay, you know, because the wind is the wind's on the mic a little bit.
I'll try inside. I don't know if we got enough service out inside. We'll walk back inside here and see what we come up with.
It's actually quite a bit better.
Any better or worse?
Yeah, no, I think it's better. It's better on the audio for sure.
Okay.
So you have quite an education. What do you think you would have done if you hadn't have started fishing?
Well, you know, this is crazy, you know, but, I had one of my degrees is in political science, and I had planned on going on to the University of Oklahoma Law School when I graduated from college. And quite honestly, the only reason I didn't was that was another 3 years of college, and I had you know, I was married and had a baby girl, and I was just tired of being broke. And I told my wife, and it was pretty much a big shock to her because she, you know, I mean, that's what we'd always planned on in college was I got the economics degree in case we didn't go to OU's law school, and the political science degree there was basically because of that. And so we kind of had things planned both ways, but and we could have gone on to Oklahoma City, OU law school. We had really high grades and that would not have been a problem. But I told her when I graduated, I said, I can't go to school another 3 years. I just can't stay broke and without things for another 3 years. And I needed to get out and make a living. And Chris has never really ever worried about money one way or the other. During the times back during that 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, when we lost basically everything we had and all of our stock portfolio and everything, she didn't bother a bit. And so she said, well, whatever you want to do, we'll do. But I don't know. I tell my friends and buddies that, that God saved me from being a lawyer. and they tell me that God saved them from me being a lawyer. He saved them from me being a lawyer. So it's worked out a lot better than it would have had that's what I've done. And most likely had I gone on to law school, you know, as you could probably tell, I am pretty interested and pretty heavily invested in politics and might have ended up being a politician. One of my running buddies in college was the attorney general here in the state of Oklahoma for many, many years. And actually ran for governor this last time around and didn't become governor, but ran for governor this last time around. But I don't know, you know, I don't know, but I know one thing. I've certainly had a lot more fun being a fisherman.
Yeah. Well, I'm 100% certain that being a fisherman is more fun than being a politician. And I'm no politician, but
they all want to
go fishing.
It worked out pretty well.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I noticed that's kind of interesting is, you know, I'm in the television world just like you are. It sounds like our career started kind of very similarly in the fact that I had a guide business going and I was fishing tournaments and doing just fine. And all of a sudden I found myself being a guest on a lot of other people's shows, just like you did, and looked at it and thought, well, that doesn't seem that hard, really. I was very naive at the time, because it is a hard business to be in. Actually, in my opinion, going out and catching fish is the easiest part of the whole business. I'd be interested in knowing what you think about that. Like, what do you think is the most difficult part about being on television? What do you think the easiest part is about operating your business, the television business?
Well, you know, the most difficult part is the same is the most difficult part of any business, you know, paying the bills. You know, I mean, it's a real simple business. It's a very simple thing to do. You know, we go to school and we take all these classes and learn all these business things. But we continue learning, we continue going to school, you know, our entire life. But the hardest thing is the simplest thing. You know, business is very simple. You have to take in more than you spend. And what you have less called profit, that's what you get by on. And that's the most difficult part. There's no doubt about it. And everybody looks at the outdoor television show business. And, you know, when we started, there was not hundreds of shows like there are nowadays. But there wasn't very many places to put those shows either. You know, we pretty much was running network television, ABC, CBS, NBC, and then the independents came along. We've been doing it 43 years, and we go way back before cable or satellite television or anything like that. And you know, now we air our show on 11 seven different networks, including the Discovery Channel and Pursuit, WGN, CBS Sports, a lot of really large networks that we run on. I think you had them all up. It's a couple hundred million homes. So there's a lot of availability out there right now. But, and there's lots of outdoor shows out there. But the problem is the same now as it was when we started. And it's the same as this in any business. You simply have to take in more money than you spend. And that is the most complicated thing in the outdoor show business. And it's a thing that causes shows to either be successful or not successful. Everybody tries to come up with ideas and little things that make their show different or unique from anybody else. And really, it doesn't make any difference. I mean, it absolutely makes no difference because, you know, you determine whether you're going to have enough money at the end of the month to pay all the bills. If you can't pay the bills, you're not going to be successful in the television show business. And the good thing and the positive thing about that is that, again, you know, we go right back to Bill and Roland. You know, Bill Nance and Roland Martin and I, at 43 years, 45 years, and 47 years, those are three of the longest running television shows in the history of television, not
of any kind.
You know, we get a lot of accolades because we've been around for forever, and we have. But you know, when you really think about it, you know, you're talking about guys that not only have been able to keep a business going for that long a period of time and become icons in this industry. They are iconic television guys. I mean, and both those guys are very, very good businessmen. They're both very, very intelligent. You know, Roland's got a degree from the University of Maryland. Roland is a very, very, very smart individual. And, you know, from a business standpoint, we probably have a little advantage over quite a few of the guys out there, just from a strict business standpoint. And our whole career has been kind of designed for business. And you know, but I've always felt like that, you know, successful people can be successful in whatever they set out to be. But the traits of being successful really have nothing to do with whatever your occupation is. You know, when you look at, and I can even just, you know, even look at individuals that that you don't consider as businessmen, but have been highly successful. And one I would say is like a Billy Graham. You know, Billy Graham, I believe that he decided to, you know, to be in the automobile business or be in the fishing business. Right. I don't know if he knew how to fish, but if he had decided to do an outdoor television show and he, you know, was had grown up and, you know, had the abilities to catch fish, he would have been very successful doing an outdoor television show. You look at all the successful people around now, some of the tech people is a little bit different than that. A lot of those could probably not make a living doing probably anything else that made, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in the tech field. But, but you know, with the real businesses that you really run, those guys would have been. And we operate, we fish and hunt with a lot of CEOs from really big companies, you know, companies like Shell Oil Company and O'Reilly and the guys that are high up in those companies. And those men could have been successful at anything. You know, the head guys at O'Reilly's, the two co-presidents, CEO and COO, both of those individuals love to fish and hunt. I mean, they're very good fishermen and hunters too, but they could have been successful in anything they went into. The president of Shell Oil Company, you can go on and on and on. A lot of the guys in our industry, people like, you know, iconic names like Cotton Cordell and Bill Norman and Charlie Spence and Berkeley Bedell. You know, Berkeley Bedell not only started, you know, a fishing line company up there that became one of the premier companies in the outdoor industry. You know, he got into politics and was a congressman, a very successful congressman. So those individuals that are successful, it doesn't matter. I mean, they can start a television fishing show and be successful like Roland Bill has. Hank Parker, that's another great example. You know, and Hank's been around a long, long time. We helped Hank get his show started when he started. We shot that show for him and helped him a lot in the, you know, what he was doing there. And he's a very good friend and another one, a very intelligent individual that whatever he decided to do, he's going to make a good living at.
So when you... You know, I had both Bill and Roland on this podcast and learned their stories. And one of the things that was consistent with both of them and with yourself is that kind of theme. Like, they probably would have been successful at whatever. But one of the reasons that struck me was not just because they were smart or they were intelligent or had better business skills than other people, but it was mostly, or a good part of it was because of the work ethic. Like, Bill Dance telling me how he got his show started and how he was editing 208 shows a year, and just it's a lot of work. I mean, what do you think about the work ethic when you apply it to all those individuals that you just mentioned? Is that something that is consistent throughout their personalities as well?
Oh, without a doubt. And you know, I mean, you can actually take any profession, you know, like we're talking about, and just in the tournaments, you just take the tournament, you know, Roland Martin's best tournament fisherman of all time, without a doubt, won 9 BASS Angler of the Year titles, and nobody's ever done that. Probably nobody ever will win 9 Angler of the Year titles. You know, my wife, Chris, won 7 in Bassingham in 21 years. It would have been good that that organization could have said she might have won a couple and caught up with him. But you know, the work ethic had cost him to win those 9 Angler of the Year titles in BASS, the same work ethic that caused him to be successful in his television show. And that's really a big part of it. And, you know, I'm 75 years old now, it's hard to really think about, but, you know, our stay-at-home order that we have here in Oklahoma is being lifted in a couple of weeks, and I had a turkey hunt trip planned to film some turkey shows beginning next Monday, as a matter of fact, and next Monday or the following Monday anyway. But now, if you're over 65, they moved that stay-at-home order to May the 6th. So it cost me a week of turkey hunting. It's crazy, you know. But we try to do things right. I mean, I'm not too concerned about the coronavirus. I'm not too much afraid of anything. I'm a redneck. But yeah, the work ethic is the deal. And you know, and even at my age, we still do 39 television shows a year. I do right in the neighborhood of 100 personal appearances every year. And up until this year, we were fishing, you know, 6 or 7 national tournaments a year. The national tournaments we're not doing this year, but nobody's doing them now anyway. So I've fished almost as many national tournaments as I would have had been fishing them. But it's you know, and running the companies that we run, you know, that takes a lot of time. Also, you know, all of our businesses require time. So we're working as hard now as we ever did, and we've probably done more personal appearances every year than anybody in the fishing game.
Right.
We had a lot of years when we were really, really, really bearing down on it and really working hard. We'd do 130 personal appearances a year, and that's a lot.
When you're doing the personal appearances, what does that look like? Is that like Bass Pro Shops? Is that speaking engagements, seminars? What is a personal engagement for you, or a personal appearance?
Yes.
all of the above.
Everything that you said.
Yeah.
You know, we do a lot of appearances. You know, we do a lot of speaking engagements. I do, you know, 15 to 25 churches a year. We do a lot of speaking in churches. Talks it for a lot of different companies. We not just fishing deals, but motivational talks. We do that for several different companies. We do a lot of work with Bass Pro Shop. We MC the openings for every Bass Pro Shop in the nation, basically, except for 2 or 3 that we have schedule conflicts. So we've MC the opening for pretty much every Bass Pro Shop. We do a lot of appearances at Bass Pro Shop stores. We do a lot at boat dealerships, like Ranger boat dealerships. We do really kind of all of the above of what you're talking about there. Our personal appearances cover a wide spectrum of things that we do. We do a lot for Shell Oil Company. We do a lot for O'Reilly Auto Parts. We do a lot for Bass Pro Shop, Ranger Boat Company, the churches. We're kind of like a hired gun. We're like pilot and have gun.
Yeah. Well, how do you see, you know,
a lot being, you know, I get on the one thing that the, you know, we talked about the coronavirus and how it's hurting this economy and what it's throwing the situation into.
you know, I've lost $35,000 in virtual appearances.
Well, that was going to be my next question.
I don't know of anything. I don't know of anything that anybody, any government help or anything on any of that. And very little of that is coming back. You know, it's a possibility that maybe $10,000 of that might be scheduled a bit later this year. But up until that time, up until we've done 27 personal appearances this year already. And we did the last ones on, I think, March 14th or 15th. But from then to now, we've lost $35,000 in personal appearance money. And we handle our personal appearance money a little bit different than most fishermen do, in that we our personal appearance money goes into the company. Back in 2008, when that bad situation hit the economy, we were losing money. We were bleeding money in the television show business. We were bleeding money in the boat store business. And the only way that really I could make very much money was in personal appearances. And we changed at that time from our personal appearance money going into our pocket to go into the company. And we would go out and do personal appearances to pay people's salary and to keep the company afloat and make sure that our people got their paycheck on the 1st and the 15th of the month. And so we switched that money that I would be making on personal appearances. We switched it from going into our personal money to go into the corporation and we kept it that way. That was, 2008, 9, 10, 11 is when that really bad start happened. We started making money again, 2012, thankfully. But we switched that over and it's the same situation now, that money that we would have made on the personal appearance money since March 15th, that would have gone into the company to help pay salaries is not there. And, right. I don't know, I don't know that, there's been a lot of, the government is, like I said, the federal government's printing money. It's pure and simple, not borrowing money, not making sure you have gold or anything to back it up, to simply printing money. And that's not a good situation for a country, but it probably is the best thing to do right now. I agree with what they're doing, but there's a lot of parts of this economy that is not going to be helped. I don't know that the tournament fishermen out there can get any help. The guys that are making a living tournament fishing, and some of them might have lost some of their sponsors during this time. We've had, some situations, sponsors where a couple of them have suspended payments for a couple of months here just to get, so they could get through. And, that's been an addition. And a lot of guys out there tournament fishing, a lot of them need to be out there winning those $10,000 checks to pay the bills for their family. Right. And I know nothing in any government stimulus program that will help them. And, I think about personal appearance money. There's a lot of people that that's how they make their living.
Yeah.
And I think about an evangelist as an example that speaks at churches. They don't receive a paycheck from a church. They're not a pastor. They don't have a church or an evangelist. And they count on going out there and preaching however much they preach at churches to pay their bills. And they've got bills just like everyone else. That's what they do for a living, is they're an evangelist. And they're getting paid, for days that they're speaking in churches. And now they can't go do that because all of those events have been canceled. And I don't know anything in any of the government programs that's helping any of that. So there's a lot of people and a lot of businesses and stuff in this economy that's going to be left out. And like I said, I think the government money for small businesses runs out today. As a matter of fact, they say it will run out today. And unless we get a call from our two banks, we miss that one.
Oh man, we did get in just under the wire, I think, on ours, and got a notification that we might get something, that the application was
good,
accepted or whatever. But we had, my guy, my banker friend said, right away, gave me a call. I went to high school with this guy, so he takes care of me. It's good to have people that you trust in your inner circle. But he said, listen, man, you need to get this application done immediately because they're going to run out of money. And so we did get it done as fast as we possibly could. And I don't know what we're going to get, but it will help to keep our people employed too. It's kind of the same deal. Fishing guides, tournament guys, the tournaments themselves, all of those things are total unknowns. Your personal appearances, that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, just kind of what you thought the future of that was. One of the things that I've noticed about you and Roland in the last couple of years is that you've embraced this new world of digital entertainment. You know, you both have YouTube channels. Yours is doing well. Roland's is doing well. You're coming on podcasts like this. Do you think that there's any potential of doing some of those personal appearances like virtually, like through Skype or one of these things like this? We're going to have to get your connection to be a little bit better because they're not going to pay you $20,000 to come and speak with some broken up Skype. But I do see that one of the things that's going to happen in the next year probably is as we continue this quarantine is there's probably going to be some incredible technology that goes into virtual meetings, you know, stuff like what we're doing right now. I think the quality is going to be improved incredibly. Do you see that you might be able to do some of the things that you're doing now virtually?
Well, that's definitely a possibility. You know, that really is. And we, yes, we have embraced the social media stuff and all of that. You know, when all of this stuff started, all of our sponsors were hollering Facebook. And so we worked very hard to build our Facebook up. We have 303,000 on our Facebook. And so it's been good. We actually do monetize Facebook as well. Facebook is not nearly as good at selling advertising as YouTube is. But YouTube was something we just really did not get involved with until actually you mentioned Roland, and Roland's got a good Facebook channel going a good YouTube channel going. And Roland told me last February, we were fixing together, he said, man, you need to do YouTube. And we were doing a television show, and I had Symphony with some of his stuff he was doing for YouTube. And he said, man, you got to do YouTube. And so I had Pat Turner, who runs our production company, has been with me for over 20 years. And I told Pat, I said, well, Roland says we need to start a YouTube channel. And he said, Jimmy, you have a YouTube channel. And I said, really? I had no idea. I have a YouTube channel. I said, well, how many people we have on there? And he said, oh, we got less than 2,000. I said, how could we have less than 2,000? He said, well, because you haven't posted anything on there in 7 or 8 years. He said, you've got to post videos on YouTube. But I didn't really understand. We had one. I don't know how we started. I don't know how that happened. But it did, you know, and so we took that YouTube channel last February that we had less than 2,000 on, and we've got over 40,000 on it now. We've grown it in about 13 months, which is pretty slow, I think. I mean, I think it's very, very slow. We should have built it to 1 million by now, but we haven't. But we're working hard on it. We're putting a lot of effort into YouTube. We do 500 YouTube videos a year. That's a lot. We actually broke off a part of our YouTube channel and started a new YouTube channel on April 3rd this month, about 10 days ago. And it's got about 1,700 or 1,800 new subscribers on that in about 10 days. But for our catch of the day, we do a daily devotional every day that we put up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And so we've got a catch of the day YouTube channel in addition to our Jimmy Houston Outdoors YouTube channel. And we post 4 times a week now on our Jimmy Houston Outdoor YouTube channel, or we were posting 11 times a week. We put the other 7 folks over on that other channel. And we throw an extra in there every now and then, you know. I think it's going to be a big deal in the future. I don't know really too much about, you know, doing virtual appearances, public appearances. I don't really know about that. That might be something big. We have had a lot of people come to us about doing things like a Patreon with a subscription channel.
Right.
I've thought about that forever in the television show business. I felt like that probably the easiest thing to do in television was just to get a million people out there to pay you $1 a month to watch your TV show.
Right.
And buy television time, put it on there, and you can make a lot more money doing that. Christian television has worked very well, very well that way. I have many friends in Christian television that have made very, very good livings preaching on television, and some of them, I've got friends that they have big churches that don't even take a penny from their church,
right?
Because they make so much off books and other things that they do. They make way more money than they've ever dreamed about making as a preacher. And they have large churches that they don't take a penny out of it. They give their service to that church 100%. They make their money outside doing other things. And, you know, I think Facebook, man, has got a subscription deal you can get involved in. We really haven't had time to look into that, but you know, we work really, really hard. I mean, we spend a lot of time doing a lot of things. Like I said, you know, did 39 television shows and 500 videos for YouTube. We were fishing 6 or 7 tournaments a year, doing around 100 personal appearances. Now, we don't do 130 anymore. You know, I think last year I did 98 personal appearances, but that's still a lot. You know, that's almost one every, you know, 3 days, a little bit more than one every 3 days. But we work hard at this game.
Yeah. Yeah. So the start of the YouTube channel, obviously, one of the reasons why we start to branch out, and the reason why you're on 11 networks, I would imagine, is the same reason why we're on 6 networks, is because the ratings on television have just gone down. And so we have guarantees that we need to, you know, that we made 10 years ago, and the sponsors are expecting those kind of numbers. So now it's like you add another network and another network and another network, and you get back to kind of the original viewing that you once had on ESPN. Is that why you're on so many networks, you know, to make up for the loss from when you're on ESPN?
That's exactly right. You know, we ran.
Uh-oh, I lost you a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we ran 21 years. I'm going to move a little bit here. I might be able to pop that fork connection. I can tell that it really is. I don't know if that's helping or not, but a little closer to my Wi-Fi connection, and hopefully maybe get just a little bit more out here. But yeah, there's no doubt about that. You know, with ESPN, and you know, we were on there for 21 years, and that was the only network we ran. We didn't run any others. But yes, you're right. You know, there's just so much availability. There's so much availability for people to watch something on a device, you know, right. and they can now watch everything. You know, you watch YouTube on, you know, I got an 86 inch television right there, and you can watch YouTube on that 86 inch television, no problem. And we do, as a matter of fact, we pop our stuff up there, and we don't watch it on the phone or an iPad. We probably watch way more on the phone or the iPad than we do on that television. But a lot of people. A lot of people have no network television anymore.
Right.
And a lot of people have no cable anymore. And so these handheld devices and television that are hooked up to the internet, it is the way of the future. And it will probably get, the technology will get better, and it'll be more amazing as time goes on. Absolutely no doubt about it.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, you've had an amazing career. I mean, you're a Hall of Famer. You've won all these different tournaments. You got all these different businesses going. You obviously are a good family man that spends a lot of time with your family. If you had to, you had to kind of think about how you would like to be remembered in this industry or for this world, how would you like to be remembered?
Oh, I don't know. You know, that's really kind of unimportant. But I think the one thing that we've tried to exemplify more than anything else was we're trying to be people of integrity, and we have a strong Christian faith. We wear that on our sleeve and always have, and we'll continue to, and we want to be remembered as being the right kind of people.
There you go.
Yes. If they need to remember for something, that's what it would be. That's really, really will be what lasts, you know, when you look at, as example, when you look at bass fishing, you know, obviously, like I said, Roland has got the credentials that no one else has or ever will have. I mean, without a doubt, the greatest tournament fisherman of all time so far. And I doubt that anyone will ever come along that matches what Roland has done. My wife, Chris, won 7 Bass and Gale Angler of the Year titles and 4 Bass and Gale Classics. And, No one, you know, will ever in women's fishing, and sometime there will be more women's organizations come around, I think. No one will equal what she's done either. But, you know, it hasn't been all that many years since Bassett Gal went away. It's been quite a few. But most people now, even folks that are on our television show and watch our television show and involved in our social media things that we do, they're surprised to find that she's such a great fisherman. You know, they see her fishing in the lane and say, wow, that girl can really catch fish. And so the tournament accolades and that stuff will disappear. I mean, it will. I see it with her, and she's very, very humble, and she doesn't talk about any of that kind of stuff. And they people come into our home and they see, you're in the Bass Hall of Fame. I didn't even know there were women in the Bass Hall of Fame. And you know, she was the only woman in the Bass Hall of Fame for many years. And now there's two in there, her and Penny Berryman. But you know, you look at that, people say, man, and they start looking and, well, you won 25 boats. And they can't believe it. And so that just sort of tells you right there how quickly accomplishments like winning tournaments and angling the and stuff like that really go away. I mean, you talk about what you'll be remembered for after your lifetime. This is during her lifetime.
Right.
And she was without a doubt the most decorated, most celebrated woman fisherman of all time. And yet most people now don't even know that she did all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, what you need to be remembered for is the kind of individual you are and what you do with everyone that you come in contact with, not what you accomplish from the standpoint of beating somebody in a fishing tournament or hitting a lot of home runs or scoring a lot of points in the NBA or whatever. That's what you really ought to be remembered for. And that's really will be what people are remembered for. Really will be.
Man, I love it. I love it. Now, I don't mean to say that you were by any means finished and that it was time to remember you. So what, and I hope you didn't.
I might do that.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that you're anywhere close to being finished. I think you're just like Roland Martin and Bill Dance. When I talk to those guys, I mean, there is no finish line in sight. They're going to keep going forever. I think you are too. So what kind of goals do you have for the future? What would you like to see? Are you moving more in the digital side? Are you going to keep doing the TV? What are you thinking these days?
Well, we definitely are going to keep doing television. We'll do television. I said for years and years, we'll do it as long as they let us. And we will keep doing that. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Our television show has been one of the most successful television shows, and it continues to be. And we show in more homes than anybody by far. And we'll continue to do that. But yes, we're working hard in that social media. And we do have desires to build our YouTube channel up to a million. I mean, I see folks that I've got a buddy of mine, Chris Fix in New Jersey, that has over 6 million subscribers on his YouTube channel, 6 mm-hmm. million. And I'm helping him. He's getting to start a fishing channel called Chris Fish. And but he's got an auto channel, and he's a good friend. He's a sharp guy. He's gone through. He lives in New Jersey, so you know what they've gone through in New Jersey during this stuff. Yeah. Coronavirus, and I've been with him for about an hour on the telephone this week, and he sent me a movie yesterday that I can't download. I don't know what it is. He sent me something I can't download, but you know, Chris is dramatically successful. That's one of the more successful YouTube channels in the nation, even in the world. I mean, it's he's up there pretty high in the rankings with 6 million subscribers, and he fixes cars. And he's got a great story, but he loves to fish. He's a good fisherman, loves to fish. But when you think about what he's done on a YouTube channel, 6 million, I've got a friends of mine that in other aspects, not fishing, that have been really, really successful with YouTube. And I look out there and see some of the guys that have been very successful in fishing on YouTube that are obviously not household names. They're not Hank Parker, Bill Hanks, or Roland
Martin. Right.
They are, and yet they have a million, 2 million people. So yeah, we you know, I definitely, you know, that's my goal is at least a million. And then I look at my buddy Chris and I think, you know, he blew like a million and 2 million and 3 million and now over 6 million and adding dramatically every single month to his YouTube channel. So I don't know where the end is to that. And I don't know that you know, I felt like for years, 20 or 30 years in the television show business, we've been doing it 43 years, that you could have subscription to outdoor television. And that's something that you and I both should be looking at.
Yeah.
I've thought about that forever. I think it would be pretty easy to have enough people out there. And we have the capabilities of doing that now through all the digital media that we have. And people are watching a lot of the digital media on big screen TVs right in their living room. So it could be that, you know, that happens. And you know, if you can build and like our Facebook's 300,000, that's not a small amount there. And it's not into the millions like some of the just chat and forget, but 303,000 is a lot of people.
Sure.
And, you know, there's a lot of people that would pay a couple, $2 or $3 a month or $5 a month to exclusively watch Jim Houston outdoors on television or any of the other outdoor shows. And particularly the ones that they really enjoy. And there are, everybody's got their favorite outdoor shows. And the big guys, the big names that we've been mentioning have been the favorites all along for years and years and years. And one of the reasons they've been there before a lot of the others were even there. And they were there when it wasn't nearly as crowded the field. It was very difficult to get started back in the television show business 43 years ago. And just as difficult to keep it going today.
Right. Yeah. It was, it's almost flip-flopped. It's a little easier to get started. It's maybe a little bit more difficult to keep it going. And back 43 years ago, it was probably a little harder to get.
You're right.
Yeah. It's flip-flopped a little bit. There's no more gatekeepers like there were at the networks and making sure that the show was just right. You can put anything you want to on YouTube and, then the customer decides, you know, he decides what's good and what's not.
That's right.
But, man, it's been a great, opportunity to talk to you. I want to do this again with you when we can sit down in person, and have some good quality during this coronavirus outbreak. I've been doing a lot of these Skype interviews and some are really good quality. Some are, you know, we have some internet issues and we did with yours a little bit, but the content of everything that you were saying was just spectacular. I love talking with you and, it's been an honor. So I just want to tell you one more time, you know, you have had a really big impact, and I know that you know that, but you've had a really big impact on a lot of people and a lot of people that are in the business now. And people ask me about being in the television business. And I say, you know, the television business is easy because of guys like Bill Dance, Roland Martin, Jimmy Houston, Flip Pallet, Jose Wahebe, those kind of guys carved a path, and guys like me just following right along. And, you know, you guys were hacking your way through the jungle with a machete and really creating this business. And, that allows people like me just to kind of do something similar and, be able to make a living doing what I love. So thank you for that. And thank you for your time today. I really appreciate it. And I hope you catch some fish this afternoon.
No doubt about it. Kitchens and fish after that. That will happen. I can guarantee that will happen. All right, Tom. I appreciate it, buddy.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Wow. That was Jimmy Houston. And, you know, for the young viewers, I'm sure you've seen Jimmy Houston on television. I probably would have stopped that interview had it been someone else. But he's somebody that I've wanted to have on the podcast for a long time. And he is at his ranch in Oklahoma. The internet's not that great. So we just kind of endured it. I wouldn't endure that quality for many people. But for somebody like him, you know, I knew what he was going to say was going to be really impactful and meaningful. So I hope that the quality didn't, if you made it this far, then the quality's okay. It could have been better, and we'll do it again with him when we can have a little bit better quality. But I want to thank Jimmy for his time. I want to thank Jimmy for what he's given to the fishing industry and to the fishing world. And like I said, he and others like him carved the path and paved the way so that you know, shows like you see mine, other shows, every show today is just following along with what those guys did and just doing basically the same thing that they were doing. So Anyway, thanks to all those guys. And as always, this show is brought to you by Waypoint TV. You can go and find out how you can get Waypoint TV on any device by going to waypointtv.com, hit the Ways to Watch page, and you can see how to get it on all of your devices. So that's it for today, and we will see you later. Go check out Jimmy's YouTube page, check out his Facebook, check him out on Instagram, check out Jimmy Houston Outdoors. You'll see him kiss a fish. All right, see you.